When we come to the communion table, we deal with love so amazing, love beyond comprehension. As we prepare to come to the table, remind us again of this great attribute of God, we pray, through the ministry of your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know about you. I know it happens to me often. I will sit and I will try to allow my mind to really try to go way back into eternity and try to wonder, try to picture in my mind, as if I could do that, what really took place in heaven long before Jesus Christ came upon the face of this earth, before his incarnation, before the creation of the world. Just exactly what was happening in heaven? Because you see, I believe if we are able to just catch a glimpse of that, we will perhaps be able to anticipate what it's going to be like when we get there. As I say that, I fail to mention, for those of you who do not know, that Gordon Reeser passed away this past Saturday and was buried from this place on Tuesday. And so we want to make that announcement, remember Ron and his sister as they mourn their father's passing. But the anticipation of heaven sometimes give people a kind of a feeling, I wonder if when we get to heaven, all we're going to do is sit around and play harps and so on. I don't know where that comes from, but I usually hear the image given by people. If you're turning your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 9 to 12, perhaps we get a little bit of what is taking place there, or what was taking place and what is taking place now, but in a different way, because we come to the table and Jesus Christ reminds us that when we come to the table, we are to remember him. The table is not where we look inwardly. The table is where we look outwardly. And in a strange way, when we look outwardly, something happens to us inwardly. Do you remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? As they were walking and Christ himself came near, Jesus himself drew near. They were distraught, they were helpless and hopeless. And at the end of that journey, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us, by the way? And I trust that this is what will happen. John chapter 15, and I will not try to go into everything in this verse or we will never get to the table. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. When we talk about God's love, when we try to comprehend God's love, or may I say, have we gotten past the place where when we talk of God's love, it does nothing for us? When we talk about God's love, do you say, oh, here we go again? I'm not suggesting that you do. But we have gotten so used to this word love that we fail to comprehend, my friends, what it means even now in 1998, 2,000 years almost after he revealed that love to us. We need not get tired of hearing it, because when we think of God's love going way back into eternity, it does something for us. And briefly this morning, our meditation, and that's what it is, I'd like to call your attention briefly to first what I see in this verse, or these verses, and invite you to look with me on what I call the exchange of love. What took place in glory before there was a creation? What took place in glory before Christ came to the cross? There was the exchange of love in the Godhead. Listen to Christ as he speaks to his disciples. Just as the Father has loved me. He's not talking about what happened when he came out of Mary's womb. He's taking the disciples way back into the eternities, and he's telling them that the basis for the exchange in glory was the Father loving the Son. Was the Son loving the Father? Was the Holy Spirit loving the Son, and the Son loving the Holy Spirit? Now, what, my friends, does this really mean, that this is the basis for divine exchange? Jesus is saying that in heaven, the basis for communication and communion in the Godhead is love. And he says it this way, just as the Father loved me. Now, friends, you and I know that love always has to do with someone's need. Whenever we think of loving someone, we think of what that person needs. We think of what that person actually, not so much of the virtues, but the need. I want to do something for this person. The virtues might attract us. But when we talk about loving in this sense, it is not that Jesus had a need in heaven and God had a need in heaven, and so the only way to meet this need was for God to love his Son. No, none at all. What it means is that there was profound delight in communicating in this divine attribute of love, that when the Holy Spirit worked and when God spoke and when the Son spoke, the basis by which they actually communicated in the Godhead was this attribute of love. It was the delight of the Father to communicate with the Son. It was the delight of the Son to respond to the Father. It was the delight of the Holy Spirit to act in his function, so that there was never any kind of selfishness in glory, and there never will be. There was never any kind of manipulation within what the Father will say and the Son will say. In one of my recent studies done in the States, we talk about triangular relationship. Not strangulation, almost. But a triangular relationship is where you have three people who work together. And two begin to feel the strain of the one. And so the two will get together and they will talk about the one. Or, in other words, there might be four people. And three will talk about one, or two will talk about two. And you see a triangle from the one that is talked about to the two people or three people or whatever the case might be. And it's called a triangular relationship. My friends, that does not exist in glory. The Spirit and the Son never get to the place where they say, how come the Father always make the decisions? The Spirit never says, how come the Son has to send me? The Son never says, how come I have to go to the cross? In glory, when there was communication, as the Father hath loved me, the Father in front of the Son in front of the Father, and there was absolute delight. And Jesus wants his disciples to understand something of human relationships. And he begins not so much upon what men ought to do, but he begins with the reality of love in eternity. If you look in Ephesians chapter 1, great, great verse. Some people love it. Some people are troubled by it. But listen to it and just let me read it without any commentary at all. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God, verse 3, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Oh, friends, I do not know the exact time. I could not know the exact time when the Father, the Son, and the Spirit produce within the Godhead how God's redemptive plan would be worked out on earth. But the Scripture says, before the foundation of the world, God spoke to his Son. The Spirit was there, and he spoke of redemption's plan, that we ultimately should be before him in love. The basis for the divine exchange is love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I can't say it better than Bishop Ryle. The feeling of one eternal person in the Trinity to another is a high thing which we cannot enter. But my friends, it is a wonder when we come to the table and begin to contemplate that this which we are about to exercise ourselves in actually was planned before time in eternity. The divine exchange. I want you to meditate, my friends, on what took place in glory before the creation of the world. But look at the bond of expression. It is the basis for the divine exchange. But love is the bond for the divine expression. Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Think it, my friends. As the Father loves me, the love that Jesus Christ has for you as his own, the love he has for you, the love he has for you, the love he has for you, the love he has for me, is the love with which he is loved in glory, in eternity, by his Father. That love that is pure. That love that is good, that expresses God's kindness and the pleasantness of God. Jesus said, as the Father loves me, so have I loved you in like manner. As the Father loves me. John chapter 13 verse 1 says this. As he was on the way to the cross, Jesus, having loved his own, loved them to the very end, or completely. I ask you, dear friends, this morning, what has been your biggest disappointment this week? What has been your biggest burden this week? What has been your biggest pain this week? What has been the thing that occupies your mind even now? Perhaps threatening your relationship with another person or your relationship with the Lord himself. Listen, my friends, when no one else can suffice with telling us that they love us, listen, Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus loves you. We sing it and we sing it and we have put it into the children's section of our hymn book. And my friends, the only way children will know it is if adults express it. Don't we? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We have regulated that to the children. But the only way our children will know it, my friends, is if they see it in us. If they hear it from us. If they see that love, as the Father loves me, says Jesus, with an absolutely perfect love, so have I loved you. John was so moved by this in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, behold, what kind of love is this, that we should be called the children of God? That's when we come to the table, my friends. Our minds should actually go into eternity and back to time again and into eternity. And we should climb the ladder of God's love and come back down the ladder with God's love to reality where we have our feet in the ground and people understand something of us. The reason we walk with such sense of pride in the deepest sense, in the purest sense, is because we are people who are loved by God. That's what the communion table says, friends. That Jesus loved you. That Jesus loves you. Whatever the pain may be, whatever the disappointment, Jesus loves you. I wonder if it means anything to you this morning, if it means anything to me. The vast, wide, deep, unmeasurable love that passes knowledge and can never be fully understood is the way that Jesus loves us. Do you remember Peter? Peter, who failed the Lord terribly, he denied the Lord with curses and with oaths. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, when the two women met him that resurrection morning, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. My friends, God may get disappointed, as it were, in us, but he never stops loving us. God never stops loving us. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I called my mother last week, and it was interesting. As we were talking on the phone, I said to Mom, I was telling the people on Mother's Day yesterday, because I couldn't get it today, late in the day. I was telling the people about how you disciplined us. And then she said, oh, you mean the time when I took the broom and beat you? I said, no, that's not the one I was talking about. And she reminded me. She reminded me of the time she was waiting. I don't know how I forgot that. I was telling you about going to movies and not going to church and how Mom was waiting for me. But she reminded me about the broom. But my friends, I'm going to tell you one thing that I never lived without the consciousness of. Never lived without the consciousness of the love of my mother. Never. Broom notwithstanding. Do you sometimes feel that you're not loved? Do you sometimes feel like Peter, having failed, that you want to get to a corner and the earth open up and take you out? No, my friends. Rest upon God's eternal love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And Jesus said, as a father loves me, that's the way I love you. Wow. Let me quickly go. Not only do we have the bond, not only the basis of love, it is a bequest that he has given to us. Abide in my love. The disciples were going to be alone. Christ was going to go to the cross, and he's asking them to abide in his love. You see, they could not see how a cross could express love. They had missed the point from what Christ has said in John chapter 13. Greater love has no man than this, than a man what? Laid down his life for his friend. The cross, he laid down his life. The communion reminds us, my friends, that love is the atmosphere in which you and I are supposed to live in. Continue in my love. As the Father loves me, I love you. Continue in my love. And the question comes, I remember when Christ saved me. I remember when I became a Christian, the sense of God's love was real, but it has petered out since that time. I've gotten so involved in other things. Listen, friends, listen. Jesus gives us the means by which we can continue in his love. Verse 10 says this, if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandment and abided in his love. Jesus has given us three specific commands. The first is that we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our strength. The second is that we should be at the communion table. That's one of the commands of our Lord. The third is that we should be baptized. That's the last command he gave to the disciples before he went back to heaven. And my friends, if we constantly abide at the communion table when the church calls for it, we continue in his love. If we follow the Lord in the steps of baptism, we continue in his love. And as we do that, my friends, doing what God has called us to do, we abide in it. There's no big secret in it. No big secret. We abide in his love by being obedient to him. To continue means to stay. To stay. William Featherstone was only 16 years old when he became a Christian. 16. And he wanted so much to abide in Christ's love. And he wrote a hymn to express his commitment. And here's the hymn. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the practice of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. He was only 16 years old. My friends, when we come to the table, we are saying to him, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the practice." I'm not talking about sinless perfection. The Bible does not teach that. But I'm talking, my friends, of having a passion for God, a love for him, a desire where the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with freshness, devotion to him every day of our lives, that he begins to really warm our hearts with the presence of God. Do you love Jesus that way? This is the basis of love. Abide in my love. That's an environment we're supposed to live in. This is the environment. Listen to Christ. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." God's love is an exercise of his goodness, says Stott. An exercise of his goodness toward individuals. Individuals who are sinners. Having identified himself with them and their welfare, he has given his son to be their savior, and now brings them to know and enjoy him in covenant relationship. Let me tell you what that means, friends. First of all, Jesus said there is an environment in which his disciples should live, and that environment is commanded. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." We don't have an option. I can't pick and choose which commandment I will take. This is my commandment. This is not an option that we have. This is not a suggestion from the apostles. This is a commandment of God. We can't pick and choose whom we're going to love. This is the environment in which we exist. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. This is my commandment, that you love one another. I wonder, my friends, if that is so, it is a dynamic. It is the dynamic by which we live, love one another. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says this, "Love seeks not its own." Love is not what I can get. Love is self-giving. The table reminds us, my friends, of Christ giving of himself. We need to remind ourselves once again that if it was easy to love, Jesus would not have commanded it. If it was automatic because we're Christian, he wouldn't say, "This is my commandment." The reason he says it is a command is because everything in you and me will fight against loving as he loved, because we love to preserve ourselves. We love to serve ourselves. We love to do the things we want. He says, "This is love, that you do not seek to please yourself, just as Jesus did not please himself." So you cannot please yourself. If we abide in his love, we are not people seeking to please ourselves. I tell you, I won't go into the details, but I had an experience of that this past week. The only place I feel the challenge to selflessness, the place where I want to display selfishness more than any other place, you know where it is, friends? In the home. In the home. With your wife. With your children. Oh. I will leave it there. But it is true, is it not? The greatest challenge to selflessness and selfishness is the giving of yourself to your spouse, or parents giving themselves to their children, children giving themselves to their parents. And my friends, as it is in the home, it's a challenge in the church. And lastly, it is the distinctive for Christians. It is the dynamic for our character. Love one another. It is a distinctive for Christians, as I have loved you. What does this mean, friends? It simply means this, that the love with which we are called to love one another, we were not born with that love. It didn't come from mom and dad. It came from the one who loved us, gave himself for us. The one who came from that divine exchange in glory and expressed that basis and bond on earth, and now calls on you and me to be distinct by the quality and the nature of God's love being expressed to one another. Listen to what he says. By this men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. By this men will know. The world is waiting for the scenes of love. The scenes of love that is nothing like what we see on the television screen. Someone said, if Larry King writes a book on marriage, don't buy it. He has gone through the process almost 8 times. I'm not being facetious, friends. I'm saying this. If you and I are to know how to make an impact on this world, Jesus gives us the answer. Love one another as he loves us. And when the world sees us, friends, we will be distinct. We won't be odd. We will be odd in the sense that we are not marching to the drum that they are the drummer they're marching to. We're marching to the one who before time existed in love and who expressed himself in love and now calls upon his followers to love as he loved.